for myself this morning, I'm thankful for sunshine and no snow. I can remember when I was a child, I would have really been disappointed for this morning. But the older I get, I kind of like it when the weatherman misses it. And there's something else I'd like to tell you before I start. Anytime you feel like, and I've done this before, the weatherman told us we're going to get, it's coming. And Walmart loved it because they sold out their bread, their food. It was sold. But then the weatherman missed it to the point that we didn't get any snow at all. And you know what? I can get upset at the weatherman if I really wanted snow. But here's something to think about. I believe God, every once in a while, will put his hand to something and just change it to where the weatherman, if he would acknowledge it, would have to say, come on, folks. I'm trying to do weather patterns, and it did this last year like this, and trying to tell you a little bit ahead of time. But if we could really know it, what's happening is God's really telling us, look, I'm in control. If the weatherman was able to hit it every time, we would be saying, well, the weatherman really has it together. What he's doing is trying to predict God, and we'll never be able to do that completely. So I am glad today that the weatherman missed it, because I probably wouldn't even be able to drive down here had he not. I have a subject I'd like to talk to you about today, and it is our ability to make choices. You know, when I was a child, Mom and Dad made the choices for me. And if probably yours was the same way, they told me when to go to bed. They told me when to get up. And some of you may have been in the place that they had to tell you more than once when to get up. But then they helped me to want to get up. And all that was a training process for me, because they knew there's coming a day when I am going to be able to make my own choices. You know, today I'm glad that they trained me that way. I'm glad they didn't say, look, there's no rules for you when you sleep, or when you go ahead and stay up all night and sleep all day if you want to. You know, my boss would not have appreciated that training in me. Because if they say, be there at 6 in the morning, you better be there at 6. And they're kind of like Mom and Dad about it. I'll give you a couple times to miss it, and then I'll make you wish you had come at 6. Because you'll be searching the paper for another job. So those kind of things, they told me what I was going to eat. And you would think the size of me, I ate everything there is. But there was some things, vegetables mostly, that I would rather not see. But I didn't have an option about it. They put it there. And sometimes they were nice enough to tell me, I'll set a timer for you. And sometimes, you know, I'm going to give you a whipping if you don't eat it. But all of those things were part of a training process. Because the day is coming when I'm going to be able to make choices of my own. And they wanted me to be able to be guided in the right direction, that I could make some sound choices. Each of us today are making choices in our life. But what I'd like for us to think about is those choices have something that follow it. And I was thinking about Ezekiel. There's a couple places in Ezekiel where God says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman. And he said, I want you to, two things I want you to do. I want you to warn the righteous that they sin not. And then I want you to warn the wicked that they turn from their sin. You know, both of those are choices that people made. Warn the righteous that they sin not. Make right choices in your life. Warn the wicked that they turn. Make some good choices in your life, even if they have been wrong choices in the past. And then we have another verse over in Galatians, the 6th chapter, that lets us know my choice is going to have something that follows it. In the 6th chapter, in the 7th verse of Galatians, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap, if we faint not. So this tells me that my choices have something else attached to it. There is a sowing and a reaping. And there's also something about sowing and reaping. You will never plant a garden and put one kernel of corn in the ground, and your wish is that you could get one kernel back again. No, you expect to have a yield of a whole lot more than what you put into the ground. You know what this sowing and reaping does? The same thing. There is a verse that talks about sowing the wind. Well, that seems like a lot. But what was reaped? He sowed the wind and he reaped the whirlwind. It came back much more than what he had ever intended when he sowed it. So the warnings for us are, be real careful about the choices that we're making, because those choices will have something that follows behind it. I will have to reap those things that I have sowed. There's another verse. It's right at the end of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. A lot of times when we read about the sowing and reaping, we always look at that as wrong choices that took me in a wrong direction and the reaping that I get from it. Even this scripture tells me it's whether it be good or whether it be evil. There is sowing and reaping that will come from the good, reaping that can bring us life eternal at the end of it all. So what I'd like for us to think about today, what follows sowing? It will always follow sowing, is another word, consequences. We make choices, and then consequences come from those choices. And that's really, you know, a lot of times I think of consequence, that word being negative. That word's not really negative or positive. It's just what happens behind any decision that I make. And we find that at the very beginning, when Adam and Eve was given a command, but they were also given a choice. In the day that you eat of this, you will surely die. And he clearly gave them instruction, of every tree of this garden, freely eat of it. But of this one tree, don't eat it, lest you die. Clear instruction was given, but God also gave them a choice, to be the power to be able to choose. But for us to remember, along with that choice, for them and for us today, along with that choice is going to come a consequence for the choice I make. It did it with them. Little did they know when Eve took of that fruit and then gave it to Adam and he ate of that fruit. Little did they know the consequences that would come. Eve had no idea that one of her sons, because of this disobedience and what would follow from it, part of the consequences of this would be that one of her sons would kill one of her other sons. I don't think she had any idea that part of the consequence of that decision would be, we no longer are able to stay in the garden. You know, it would seem like it would have been good if the garden was just destroyed and they were out to have to plant for themselves. But you know, part of the punishment was that the Garden of Eden was still right there for them to look at. Because it said it had a flaming sword at the entrance to keep them from being able to come back. Part of the consequence of her decision was that the years out ahead, and back then they lived more than 80 years, the years out ahead they would be able to look over the fence, look over here, and see what had been available for them all this time, and they chose not to have it. There's something that I need to remember. I control the choice, but God controls the consequence that comes from that choice. Because along comes two sons, Cain and Abel. Now it's their time to choose. And when Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's was rejected, the Lord spoke to Cain and he said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you don't do well, sin lies at your door. A choice that he's going to have to make, but there's consequences that will come from that choice. Amen. And the time passes. We don't know how long passed from the time that God talked to Cain until he made the choice and killed his brother. But there are other people that also made choices. I'd like to look over in Genesis, because not all choices that we get to read about in the Bible were negative. Here's one that was a positive choice. And what I wanted to do is encourage you and me to make positive choices by seeing what can happen from it. In Noah's time, in the 6th chapter of Genesis, it says in the 5th verse, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And then he says he's going to destroy it in the 7th verse. But then here comes a little verse in the 8th verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In a time when there's wickedness all around, it was hardly seen that one person can make a difference. But God allowed it to make a difference, because Noah was making right choices. You know, it's hard for me to imagine what obedience it took for Noah to have never seen rain in the past, and God says there's coming a flood. How would Noah even know how to comprehend what a flood could be? And then God gives him the dimensions of the boat to build it. We went through Kentucky recently, and they have rebuilt, made something, an ark, that size, the dimensions. And you can see it from a half mile away, the size of it. And you know, it's one thing if you could go to Home Depot and have your lumber delivered to you. It's another thing when God says, part of my commandment is that I want you to make this out of gopher wood. There's a certain type of wood. And you know, he's building it for over 100 years. So naturally, you would start cutting down the trees right next to your place first. But after you have done that, you're going to have to move farther and farther away. So you're going to have to understand this command right here. Because there's a verse that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your paths. The reason is because my mind gets to thinking. Now, wait a minute. Wood is wood. I have cut down all the gopher trees within 5 miles of here, and I still have a lot of the ark yet to build. There is no difference between oak and gopher wood as far as this boat matters. You know why there was a big difference between it? I'm not sure that one floats more than the other or whatever, but the difference was obedience. For him to just follow without questioning, this is what God wants me to do, and I will do it if I have to go many miles for another gopher tree and drag it back home again. I will obey. Because it has in Genesis the 6th and the 22nd verse, he's given him this instruction. I like these verses when they follow the instruction that God gives somebody. 22nd verse, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And then there's another verse over in the New Testament, in Hebrews 11 and 7. Because a lot of times the decisions we make are going to affect more than just me. They affected more than just Noah. In 11 and 7 of Hebrews, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You know what? My obedience to God, it's possible, it's very possible, that it will go much farther than just me. It can also be to the saving of my house, whenever I make choices by what God has given to me. So for each of us today, a lot of times we could read these stories. I heard them when I was young. Mom and Dad read them to me. But you know what? They have an application for us today. In choices that I make, that I realize, you know what? I wonder where this choice will lead me. Because it can be as simple a choice as now I'm going from home, and I go to apply for a job. What determines what job you would get? If you have two choices, what determines what job you would take? You know what? When I was younger, I would look at one thing. Which one pays the most? You know what? I have lived some years now, and I have worked on enough jobs that that's no longer my first question. Because what is real important now? What influences would be on that job that I don't have a clue would be there? And I'm going to spend many years working in this place with influences in the environment around me, and I made a choice to be there. You know, there was a simple choice made one day when Lot came with Abram, and a choice was given him. You know what, it would have been nice if Lot would have said, look, Abram, you're the oldest, you choose, and I'll be happy to take what is left. But really, he didn't do anything wrong. Abram told him, you choose first, and I'll take what's left. So he looked out and he saw the watered plains. You know what, it would be only natural for me if someone said, okay, Dan, you take your pick. You can have either one you want. I would naturally say, wow, this looks like my cattle. The only reason they were separating anyhow was that their herds were getting so large that they weren't able to feed them all at this place. So naturally, I would look at the grass is growing greener over on this side. I will take it. That's what I choose to be able to take. Let's look in Genesis for just a little bit. Lot did not sin when he chose a part. But a lot of times it's what follows the choice that I made. And really, the choice that I made could be a little indicator of what's down inside my heart that could be a warning for me. In the 13th chapter and the 11th verse, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. They separated themselves, the one from the other. But you know, something happened from that choice. It's in the very next verse. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. It doesn't say that the first choice, even when he made the choice to have that land, I would love to be living in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a wicked city, but that's where I want to end up. It doesn't say that. He chose some land that would be good for his cattle, but there were other choices that followed. And with this one, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And then it goes on down, it's not very far, in the 14th chapter and in the 12th verse, as what happens from a lot of our choices, we now move in. He took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. So it tells us we don't know how much time passed, but as what happens with our choices, time passes, and that choice causes fruit to come from it. Sowed the wind and reaped the whirlwind. Lot never knew when he looked out and saw the green grass and the choice that he would make. He never knew because I look at what he had when he left out of Sodom and Gomorrah fleeing. It does not say that with him he took that massive herd that he had built up. He left with nothing. He did leave with his wife. But you remember when Noah is said to the saving of his house, Lot's choice was to the destruction of some of his house because his wife lived in Sodom long enough that her heart was there. That even though she was obeying the instruction of God to leave, you remember there was one more instruction. It said, don't you turn around to look back. You know what? It had to have been some noise going on back behind when it's raining hail and brimstone, fire and brimstone. And I've got some family members still back there. And she turned around and became a pillar of salt. For my choices that I make, I really need God. It would do me well even when I have to change a job to tell the Lord I cannot see the future. You see out into eternity. Would you block the job even if it's the best paying job I've ever had? I ask you to block it. Yes, if you see that there is something about that job that could cause me a chance, a more of a risk of being lost. You see how my choices start changing? I now fear to make the choice on my own because I look at some of these choices, innocent choices that were made with just a little tugging of the heart to head this direction. Innocent choices that were made and the end of it, family members being lost. And these are just examples for us. My choices, whether they're good or whether they're bad, have a ripple effect. They will ripple out and affect my children. There's a verse I'd like to look at in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 30 and 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Choose life. It's not going to be just for yourself. It's going to be a benefit to your family that comes behind you. So many people, when they make choices, they feel like this is all about me. It's not all about one person. There's a ripple effect that comes from the choices that I've made. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. One day a man named Achan was at Jericho. Joshua had been given the command to have a march around Jericho. There were also some other commands that were given. You know, they had been out in the wilderness for many years. They had had no income. And they're coming on a city that must be wealthy. At least they have some silver and gold. Because God says, the silver and gold is mine. Don't take it. Don't take anything else for yourself either. You know what? That's a tough command when I've had no way of having income in the past. And now the walls come down and I'm going into these houses of the people that have plenty. And Achan, he knew he shouldn't have done it because he didn't put the garment on when he walked out of there. He didn't show his friends how much money he had taken. He took it and he hid it under his tent. But God was able to see that. And it was amazing to me how God went through the process of pointing out who the man was. You remember when Joshua went out, when they told him, Ai is out ahead here. It's just a small city. You won't need to send very many people. But here's a problem. We can have a very small problem out ahead of us that I feel like I can handle. But the difference is whether God is going with me to help me with that one or not. And God was not with them when they went to Ai. And Joshua soon found out about it when some of his men were killed as they all ran back to camp. And he fell on his face. And God said, get up. There's sin in the camp. And he put him through a process. You know, there are a lot of people in this group. Surely you can be hidden and never be found out. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Those things that I sow, I'm going to have to reap those. And he had to reap. But I can about imagine when they first hear that it's going to happen, Achan thinking, I've got this thing hid, I will not be found out. But God helped with the process. There's 12 tribes of Israel. And God helped them to pick one tribe. It must be in this tribe. It is in this tribe. You know what? Joshua did not have a question at all when it came down to whether Achan was the man or not. He didn't say, I don't know if this process really worked. What he did when Achan stood before him is he said, tell me what you've done. So, you know, when it came down to that one tribe, there's still many people in that tribe. But I imagine Achan started trembling a little bit. It is in my family. They have picked my family. And then it came on down to where it was within his family. His father was picked. And then he was picked. And you know what happened from that? There wasn't much mercy shown back in the Old Testament for disobedience. With him, it would have been one thing if they'd have said, Achan, you made a poor choice. Your family did not even know about this, so you're going to be the one to die, and your family will take your inheritance on to the Canaan land. It wasn't that way. His children died. Everything he owned was killed. His wife died. Everything from one choice that was made. When we make choices in our life and say, it won't affect my family, I want to tell you, it will affect our family. Yes, it will. It's Satan that tells me it won't happen. There's another verse, because Joshua, with all that happening about him, he made a choice. And he told them in Joshua 24 and 15, you choose this day who you're going to serve. If you want to go this way, can't stop you. But he said, as for me and my house, we've made up our mind. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So it's about a choice. I'd like to look at another choice we have. It's again in Ecclesiastes. This one is in the 11th chapter. And this one says it's to the young people, but I believe it's really for all of us. 11th chapter, 9th verse of Ecclesiastes. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. You are able to make your own choice today. You can do whatever you want to do. But the verse doesn't end yet. The verse continues. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And another example that I see in the scripture that is a warning to me is from the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon. Solomon had personal visits from God. If you go back and look at those personal visits from God, the very first one had no warnings come with that visit. That's because I believe God saw that his heart is all toward me. What God said in that first visit is, you ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. You know what? The only reason I see that God would have done that is God saw his heart ahead of time. He is going to choose the right things, and he did. Years passes. He builds a temple for God, and he dedicates the temple. And his heart is still toward God. As he dedicated it, he didn't say, I want you to look at this fine structure that I have been able to build. Instead, he said, is it even possible that the God of heaven can dwell in something that man has made? He realized who God was. And if you read about that, God met him that second time. And he told him, I want my name to be here forever, perpetually. I want to stay right here. But there was something that happened with that second visit. It goes very well, and we find it happened many times with the children of Israel. If you choose the right things, these blessings are going to overtake you. The 28th chapter of Deuteronomy is one of those chapters. Half of the chapter is when you make the right choice, these blessings are going to overtake you. Your field is going to prosper. Your family is going to prosper. But the other half of that same chapter of Deuteronomy 28 says, two words changes it all. But if. That's all in another choice that I made to go the different direction. And then it uses the other half of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy to tell almost the same things, except there's a cursing going to come on each of those things because of the wrong choice that you have made. There was a warning came to Solomon, just like that. I want my name to be here forever. And then it said the same thing, but if. But if your heart gets turned away, I want to tell you what's going to happen to this house that I want to be in forever. I will leave this house. And people will say, what happened? And others will have to tell them it's because they turned from serving God. Solomon had that warning and his heart was still turned toward God. But he still had a few more years to live. You know, Solomon being the wisest man that ever lived, he knew the rules. He knew the commandments. He knew the ones in Deuteronomy where there was warnings given, don't you marry out in the heathen, because here's what's going to happen. They're going to turn away your heart from serving me. And Solomon did that very thing. It says his heart was turned away. to the point that he helped to build some of those temples for them to worship other gods. And God pays him one more visit. And he says, all the good that I had intended for you will be taken away. Folks, for us today, wrong choices can cause all the good that God wants to give us in our life to be taken away. And I say, I didn't choose all of those things to come as a result of this one decision that I made. I'm able to make the choice, but God is the one that puts the consequence with it. But again, not all choices in the Bible, the instruction given to us, was negative. I love the story of Joseph. Joseph had a lot of choices to make in his life. Well, we might say, no, he didn't. He was a slave. That's true. Kind of like when I was at home and I had to do what someone else told me. But you know what? He had something happening inside of him, because we have a mind that continues working whether we're a slave or a free man. And he had choices of what he would do with that. Choices that could have ruined him out in the future when God planned to use him the most. The things that happened to him from the time he was down in the well and was pulled out. No doubt when he came out, he was so glad, they tricked me, they played a prank on me, but now I'm back with my brothers. But he had a choice of the thought that would always stick in his mind of being put on those camels and hauled off and realizing, this is real. I saw the money change hands. I'm now a slave to these people. When he went into Potiphar's house and he was betrayed by Potiphar's wife and now he's in prison again. Yes, he's still a slave, but he's got the right to make choices with what goes on in his head. Choices that if he would have started making a list of the people that I'm going to straighten this out with when I get out, and I will be out one day and I'm going back to see them. It would have ruined him for what God had planned for him out in the future. But he was able to make right choices through all of those things to the point that now it is time for revenge. I am now in the place to be able to turn it back on them again. And what does he say to his brothers? It wasn't you. It was God that put me here. God had a plan. 17 years old when he came out of the well. 30 years old, lost 13 years of his life before he found out what that mission was. And yet he committed it all to God. Sometimes we're not going to be able to see what the future holds for us. But if I will always keep in mind who holds the future, and I don't have to understand it today, but I will understand it one day, and I commit it into God's hands. Joseph was a good example for me. There is another verse in Romans 6 and 23. Because you know what? I've still got some life out ahead of me. There's going to come things where I have to make a choice. This says, the wages of sin is death. It always has been, and it always will be. Sometimes it's just that enjoyment can go for a while before payday comes. And with that, I think about in Luke 15, the father that had two sons. And one of them made a choice. He said, Dad, I want you to divide up the inheritance. It's time for me to get out on my own. Now, there is something different about the Bible than in that story than what would have happened at my house. Dad would have said, it only comes to you when I'm dead, and I'm not dead yet. You leaving without any money. But he divided up his inheritance with him. And you know what? That could have caused Dad to have some more feelings when he saw how he wasted it. But it didn't with Dad. But the boy went out and he wasted his substance on riotous living. And you know what? Payday hadn't come yet. No doubt he was picking up some friends. You know, when you have money and you're running around like that, everybody's willing to be your friend. But something happened to him when the money ran out, and he had nothing. And you know what? Many times in life, this is just like what happened to him. It said there came a great famine in the land. something that I had not expected to be part of this equation. I had expected this to just keep on flowing and the fun times keep on going. But instead, now I'm in a famine and my money is gone. And it didn't say that his friends came to him and said, "Hey, come stay with us." He had nothing. And while he's down there feeding the pigs, he starts thinking about Dad's house. And I love the story, because this is one of maybe few that make the choice to come back. Many times the choice just leads them farther and farther out into sin. But this one stopped and started thinking about Father's house. And he said, "I tell you what, he didn't come back home like he went. He didn't come back home saying, 'Look here, I'm still your son. I know I got stinky clothes on. I don't look like the same, but I'm still your son and you still owe me.'" Nuh-uh. How he came back was, "Father, I don't even deserve to be called your son, but I know the servants live better than I do. Would you just make me a hired servant and I will be happy because of where I have just come from?" Folks, choices are always going to have consequences. We will reap what we sow. We have read some stories of good reaping. Galatians tells us about good reaping. "He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." It's choices that I make day by day. And I can look in my life and see bad choices that I made. But you know, I'm so glad that Jesus is depicted like this Father. That when I come to myself and say, "Lord, this choice did not look the same back then when I made it as it does today. Please forgive me." You know what a big part of salvation is? Repentance. We're living in a time today where people, religious people, make it very shallow. Make a decision for Christ, and you will be saved in the end, no matter how you live. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches there's going to be some sowing and some reaping. And the very worst of the reaping is if I have not cleared up those things that I have done. Repentance is so valuable. It was repentance that brought the young man back to Father's house. He came to himself and he repented of what he had done. Repentance is still important today. You know what? Saved and sanctified people, sometimes we need to repent. And that does not mean I need salvation all over again. Repentance can be just to the level that, "Lord, I realize that was not a wise choice that I made. I see that it's taken me in a direction that has caused leanness to come to my soul. I'm still saved, but it has brought leanness." You remember when the children of Israel, they were sick of manna. "I want some meat." And they started asking for meat. And it said God gave them their request, and he sent leanness to their soul. It was a price tag that came from choices they had made, directions that they desired to follow. Those same things can follow me. When I'm saved and I have a desire to live for the Lord, but I look at a situation and I think, "I see this is the way this thing needs to go," and I pursue that. And then I find out, you know what, that was my own thinking. And I can turn around to the Lord and say, "I am sorry. I did not seek you." Remember, it would have been good if Joshua at the end of Jericho, before they ever went to Ai, to say, "Lord, I thank you for that victory. This next one looks like a little simple job that we can take on our own. But Lord, what do you think?" I believe the Lord would have showed him ahead of time, "Wait, don't you even go, because I'm not going with you." Many times we will make choices that we don't feel like they're sinful, but we find out on the other end of them, they didn't do us well. It's good for me then to go back to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm finding out more and more that even in the simple decisions that I make in a day's time, I would be well to ask your direction more in my life." Peter sinned when he forsook that he even knew Jesus, to the point that he cursed and said, "I don't know him." But what I love about that story is he had another choice that he made. He could have made a choice like was made when Judas hung himself. But instead, Peter said he went out and he wept bitterly about a choice that he had made and was forgiven. King David one day made a choice. When he stepped out on his roof, there were choices that he was going to make. The first choices began in his mind of what he would do with what he saw. Folks, I want to tell you, our choices come from so small of an event that we cannot even see the direction that they will take us. But it will be good if I seek the Lord. Lord, you know where these things can lead me. Please help me to catch them when they're in the small state. Because you know what? David could have turned from that and rejected the thought that was trying to make him a choice. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And I want to tell you, that lust does not have to be really sinful things. It's desires that I have, directions I want to go. But they can lead me farther and farther away from God. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, can bring forth death. What I need the Lord to do is in the decisions, the choices that I make, to ask Him, as I get ready to make this choice, Lord, you can see down the road. If Lot could have only seen the day that his wife would have turned into a pillar of salt, he would have had nothing to show for all of his labors of the herds that he needed that green grass for. Surely he would have made a different choice. We're not able to see the other side, but God is able. And I desire in my life, in choices that I'm making, Lord, I want you to please help me with the choices that I make. You know what? Sometimes we will have choices that we regret later on. But if I will remember, God has set before me life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. And then if my choice has been wrong, I am so thankful that we live in a time of mercy. When God can still forgive, yes, there's sowing and there's reaping. There's reaping that will come for choices that I have made. But I am so thankful that God can help me in that time of reaping. I would like for us to close with a song, number 393. This song gives both sides of the picture. It tells us if we sow to the flesh, if we shall scatter tares in the fallow, how shall we hope that they shall not grow? We cannot gather wheat for the garner, if only useless weeds we shall sow. Should we be sowing briars and thistles, where would the grain and the flowers find room? If we're sowing hatred and malice, we cannot pluck affection's sweet bloom. And with that, I think of the picture of the sower and the seed. He sowed it out into some places where there just was not enough room for it to be able to grow. You know what? I can plant enough things in my life that good things don't have a place to grow. As is the sowing, so is the reaping. Sinner, the seed you carelessly cast bringeth a harvest, bitter with anguish. Surely thy reaping will be at the last, shall be at the last. And then this next verse is, should I choose the other way? Gentleness, kindness, purity, trueness. They also will yield something. They yield a rich fruitage, never to cease. Sowing in meekness unto the Spirit will bring eternal blessings and peace. Soon, all of us are going to gather what we now scatter. Unto your life give diligent heed. What we're sowing, it's growing. The result is going to be the same as the seed. I desire your prayers. Each of us will make choices out in the future. Some of those choices will seem so simple that it hardly seems that I need God to lead me in it. But I cannot tell where that choice will go tomorrow. So that song that says, out on this dark world, Savior am I. And it says, wilt thou lead me by the hand. Can we sing number 393 in closing, please?